always tried to intermingle the falseness with the true and try to make it acceptable. We certainly see that today in our generation. I was listening to a program the other night, and I had to turn it off before I got so upset that I didn't want to hear any more of the garbage. Here was a preacher up there, so-called, talking about how that we need to accept certain things as just the way of life, and sure, people get into sin and things happen, and we're experimenting and we're finding out that we're really who we are. And he'd been caught up into a homosexual relationship and pastored a mega church, but yet he's there recruiting. He's there saying everything's okay because we're just finding ourselves. Yeah, he found himself, and we found out too what he was. Pedophile. Pervert. So change the title. Don't make it as pointed as it is, and color it off and make it something different, more acceptable. Then on the other side of the debate was this guy that pastored a church, and he certainly wanted to make everything well and good with that crowd. You know, the Bible still stands true. It still stands firm on what's truth and what's untruth, what is righteousness and unrighteousness, what is good and what is evil, what is wicked and what is unholy against that which is holy. But we don't want the Scriptures anymore. We just want to figure out how we feel good and how we can make it work for us. We have the mainline denominations of our country taking in every kind of perversion that's possible just in order to keep the crowd, just in order to have that group and not have them being the outcast. Well, I'll tell you what, if the Word of God makes us an outcast, then we're an outcast. Change the title. We don't want him to be our king. Say he was that he desired to be. Say he said he was. The Bible tells us, turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And by the way, that battle I was talking about, if we're not careful, we're going to lose that battle. It's predominant. It doesn't change the Word of God any. Doesn't change the Scripture any, and doesn't make it any less sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now you can make that subject anything you want to. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? If the Word of God tells us there are certain things that are right and wrong, then how say us that those things are not right or wrong? Who are we to put ourselves in authority and judge over holiness and righteousness, and especially the Word of God? Verse 13 says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, your faith is vain, or also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." Oh, but I'm so glad this morning my Bible tells me and we believe that Jesus Christ died and he rose again. Therefore, our preaching is not vain. And those dear loved ones that we have followed to the cemetery, they did not die in vain, and they are going to be raised again with him. So this morning, the world wants to defame him and say, really, he couldn't be the Son of God. Really, he's not a sinless one. He just said he was. He really wasn't the Son of God. Just put on that title. He said he was the King of the Jews. He said he was Savior. Don't put up there that he was. Well, I believe our message this morning ought to be one of perfect, complete, 100% completion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for the sins of mankind. He arose again the third day, and we are to preach Him as Savior of all that will believe upon His name. And we are to stand upon that regardless of what the world says, regardless of what religion says, regardless of what scholars say. We are to follow the Word of God. Don't change it. Don't make it something else. Say what it says. Why, this man, Jesus, certainly he could not forgive sinners. Why, he couldn't do that. Why, when a person said that he had given him sight, there had to be some reason for that. We'll go ask his parents. And they said, well, you go talk to him. He's of age. And that man said, I don't know anything about him. I don't know where he came from, anything about him. But I do know one thing. I was blind, now I see. Brother, a changed life cannot be confronted with the world. The world has no way of dealing with someone that has changed from a reprobate and a sinner to a person that loves God and serves God and lives for God. They have no way of dealing with that. All I know is I was blind, but now I can see. Thank God this morning what Jesus did was real. He forgave sinners. He favored the things of the Lord, and He told people of who He was and made testimony. But we want to change it today. We want to change everything about Him and the ways that we do. Someone said the other day that they just detested. Well, they maybe didn't use that word. But they couldn't understand why the older generation wouldn't let go and give in to the younger generation and let them do what they wanted to do. Well, that's probably because the younger generation don't know yet how to do it. It's probably because they're in training. And the Bible says don't let a novice have control. The Scripture says to have some stability in yourself and in your life. But what's wrong in our generation is everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Just do your own thing. If I can get a hold of it, I'm going to show in here some of the new mega church worship services. That'll enlighten you. I think I can get it. I know who's publishing it and getting it together. We're in a situation today that everything has to be changed in order for it to work. I beg to differ. We're living in a generation that people don't want to know the things of the Lord as holy and righteous. They want them just to be common everyday social club gatherings. Why? Jesus, He couldn't be the Son of God. He just said He was. He wasn't our King. He just said He was our King. He said He forgave sinners, but I don't believe He did. Well, the cross, that's His rightful place. He came as a rebel against the government, and they said, don't put up above His head, He's our King, because He's not our King. Now, both of them told the truth. Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And that writing was, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He told the truth. But that crowd that came to Pilate, they told the truth also. They said, He's not our King. Because they had rejected Him. And so therefore, change the title. Well, you can change the title all you want to, but it's not going to change who He is. You can change the book all you want to, but it doesn't change the book. You can change all you want to change, but it does not differ and does not alter what is truth and what is righteousness. So we want to defame His person. He just said He was. We want to say He had no power. We want to distort His program. We want to just put it all on the... let's just sort of make it a gray area, no black and white. The world, society around us wants us to believe that there's no such thing as right and wrong. They want us to believe there's no such thing as black and white. Everything's gray. They want us to say, well, the situation determines how you respond. The book ought to determine how we respond. Situation ethics is a lie right straight out of hell. We do not take our situations and alter what is truth just in order that the situation can be averted or taken care of or changed. When God said, thou shalt not kill, God meant thou shalt not kill. When God said, let there be no other gods before me, He meant exactly that. His words are true. He does not cloud His words. He does not gray the areas. He said, it's this or that. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. But we're living in a society, we're living in a generation that wants to do the same thing that this crowd did. Just say, well, He said it was that way. I don't know how many people have told me, well, you say it's that way. No, this says it's that way. Every subject we can talk about, we better find it in the Word of God. Everything that we deal with, you can find in the Scripture, doctrinally, or any other thing you want to talk about, you can find it in the Scripture. And this is the Word of God as a final authority. This is the message that we have, and we tell it to the world, and the world says, yes, but we don't like it that way. No wonder the world doesn't like the Word of God, because society that has so degraded itself and disintegrated and so demoralized itself doesn't want to hear the end result is hell. The world doesn't want to hear the soul that sinneth it shall die. The world doesn't want to hear that a person that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ shall die and go to hell. That's just your opinion. Now they're telling us that we do not have the right to try to persuade others to believe what we believe. My Bible tells me I'm to persuade others. Amen. What am I to do? Just sit by and watch them die and go to hell, not say a word, not do anything, not try to help them? No, that's worse than an infidel. But the world says, don't bother me with that. That's your opinion. You see, we have lost in the last, I don't know how many years, I don't have any figures to back it up, but in the last generation, we have lost the authority of the Word of God. We have lost the authority of the local church. We have lost the authority of the pulpit. We have lost the authority of believers, because it's just become our opinion. No, it's not our opinion. The soul that sinneth shall die. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not my opinion. That's the written Word of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've shot at the target, but it falls short. That's not my opinion. That's God's Word. Well, don't change anything about my lifestyle. I'm okay with it, but God may not be. That's not my opinion. What does the book say? So there's more to these words here than maybe meet the eye as we read this. In verse 20, this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and is written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. A whole lot more to that than just meets the eye. Don't write the truth. Every day we hear of terrible, ungodly things that are taking place in our country. I saw a report the other day that kids on school buses were snorting coke along with the bus drivers. All of them high on the bus. But what's wrong? Don't tell me that's wrong. That's your opinion. You see, we've lost the authority of God in the lives of our generation. And when we have no authority, we have no right and wrong. We've been told for years that there's no such thing as absolutes. Well, those folks are absolutely wrong. There are absolutes. A man that sins, a person that sins, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. That's an absolute. An absolute fact that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's absolute truth. But change it. Distort it. Dishonor. Why, faith, that's nothing more than just foolishness. There's no such thing. I'll not see it, or I'll not believe it till I see it. Well, don't take another breath. But you can't see the air. You can't see oxygen. I'll not see it. I'll not believe it until I experience it. Well, you may not ever experience something, but you believe it'll happen. You go underwater for a little while and don't come up, you'll find out what happens. That's an absolute. It's not going to maybe happen. You're going to drown. Well, I'll not believe it until I see it. Well, jump in. Change the title. Change the meaning. Change the way. Distort the promises. Or did God really mean what He said? Quit repeating the devil. Because he does mean what he says. That's the question the devil asked Adam. Did God really mean it? Did He really say it? John chapter 5, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they here shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And hath given Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. He has authority. He has authority to help in time of trouble. Thank God for that. Well, when trouble arises and trouble raises its ugly head, I'm glad we have a Savior that we can go to. But just the world says, it just makes you feel better to pray. I get so sick of hearing that stuff. Faith. Anytime you hear somebody having a TV special on faith, don't waste your electricity. Don't waste your money. Don't listen, because they're not going to have truth about faith. They put it on trial. Is it really real? I'm glad we have a hope of heaven. I'm glad that when troubles and sorrows come, thank God, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. We have one that we can go to and He'll help us. And when we can't even utter a word, the Spirit of God, this Bible says He knows our groanings, He knows our utterings unto the Lord, and He puts them into the words that God knows. And we have that before us. Oh, but that's not God. That's just an inner feeling that makes you feel better. Brother Ebert, I don't say this to make you feel bad, but was it an inner feeling that helped you through the death of your wife? No. It's God. Is it just some strange coincidence? No, no. Served the Lord together 50-something years in the Philippines. And God calls her home, and we're left without her, but we know where she is. Brother, that's not foolishness. That's faith. Don't change that on me. I've got a grandmother on that side. She died 1 month to the day after our daughter was born. And she's the first one that I can remember told me about the Lord. and I have a whole Bible. She was so sick, but she said, I'm not going to die until I see my grandchild, great-grandchild. Amy was born October the 1st, 1976. We took her when she was just a few days old to make sure my grandmother held her and saw her. And 1 month to the day, she passed away. Don't change the title on me. When I went to the Philippines 2 years ago, my mother was very sick. I was afraid she was going to die while I was there. And I asked the Lord, I said, please, keep her alive. And the day I set foot back in this country, she began to be very sick. And just a few days later, she was gone. Don't tell me God didn't answer my prayer. Don't change it because He's real. We have loved ones that are gone. And now the only thing we have are memories and pictures. Oh, but one day we'll see them again. All because He's real. All because the title is true. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So the world can change it. And they can do what they want to. But I think I'll just go ahead and worship Him and serve Him according to truth. So when they said, change the title, they were saying more than that. They were saying, change the whole picture. Our God is real. I know He's real. And one day I shall see Him face to face. I shall behold Him and look upon Him and worship Him, because He is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Let's stand together this morning.